Couple of quick plugs before we start today's show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is @NarbosPodcast. If you want to email us, our email address is narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Hit us up with your comments on future episodes of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. And if you want to be on a future episode, let us know as well, and we'll try to set something up. You can also follow our show on all of the podcast platforms, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So please give us a follow and subscribe on any of those sites, and you will be able to get us pushed to you every single week. The theme music for this show is brought to you by a band called Ew, You're a Girl and Girls Suck. They are a punk band from here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And their Bandcamp page is iagags.bandcamp.com. That's iagags.bandcamp.com. They used to watch Degrassi episodes when they took breaks from recording back in the 90s. Anyways, that's about it for the plugs. Let's get to this week's episode.
Those lyrics of yours, not cool.
Typical. Self-absorbed Craig actually thinks the song's about him. Wow, so vain.
What's your problem? You attack me every time I pass you in the hall, and now you're performing that?
Well, what did you expect, for he's a jolly good fellow?
Ash, I swear if you play that song in the competition, I'll...
have sex with more grade nines?
Guys, settle down, please.
In Narbos, it's Battle of the Bands. It's Ashley and Craig's last musical stand. Ashley told her friend she dumped Craig because he's a wuss. Craig said that's not true. You wouldn't let me crush that puss. Ashley wrote her song about how much he was hurt, and Craig wrote about being lowered in dirt. At the end of the episode, the judges will decree who's the best band of Degrassi TNG. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Narbos and Broomheads. I apologize if that wasn't up to snuff to my regular intros, but I had writer's block. I wasn't going to run outside and scream like they do in the show, but it is raining and I didn't want to get wet.
That's great. It's fantastic.
It was really well. I just choked on my beer because that was really fun.
No, good. That was my goal, to make you choke, so I'm glad I did that.
You said puss.
If one more person says that to me today.
Mm-hmm.
So, I am Barry, and I am going to be with you through this magical journey of Battle of the Bands. And we have a slew of Degrassi enthusiasts, which you've already heard from, so let's just do our intros, and let's just head up to the Torbay Bypass. And where are we going
Whoa.
There?
Who could it be? It's me, c'est moi. It's Ted. Hey, everybody. Hello. What do I want to expect? People to respond?
Hi, Ted!
Hey, you guys.
Hi, Ted!
Hi, Ted. We love you.
I heard you were full mast earlier.
Yeah, that was off air.
Oh,
we won't bring it on air. Moving right along. Who's that little voice? Who could that be?
Oh, sorry. That was my little friend here. It's just a
Oh, your little friend. It's good.
It's me, Courtney. I'm back in O-Town. And, I'm still super jealous of the big show that I missed in the T-Dot, but it sounds like it was a blast. And I will continue to be jealous until I get to go down there, too, whenever I get the exclusive invite. But until then, let's see who actually is in T-Dot.
There's always an open invite, just to clarify. It's just you have not accepted it because you're too cool. I gotta go play softball. Look at me. I'm Robbie Alomar.
Hey.
Actually, yeah. That's probably not a good one.
Yeah. I'm Chris Woodward.
Topical.
We had, I'm Alan, by the way, and we had live podcasting. The last two episodes were done here in, I call it the studio. It's my condo, everyone. There's nothing studio about it. And good times. Big thanks to Drew, Sarah, and Tim for being special guests on those two episodes. And can I tell a story?
Please.
Sure can.
So We podcasted over the weekend. Drew and Arlo were both in Toronto until Wednesday. So on Tuesday night, we decided to go out. So we kind of did a tour around the Annex, which is my favorite neighborhood in downtown Toronto. And then we were trying to figure out what to eat. And then I don't know if it was Arlo or Drew. One of them were like, what about that Portuguese chicken place that you guys talk about? So we looked it up and we went to, and these people are not advertising on the show, though I just got rid of their site. So now I'm going to have to find it again. Here we go.
Damn it.
The Portuguese Chicken Guys at 898 College Street in Toronto. We went down there, arrived 10 minutes before close, made our order, and then Arlo was like, we're really sorry that we came in 10 minutes before you closed. And they were like, oh, it's okay. Like, we want to make sure that the food doesn't go to waste. To which I said, I would happily eat your garbage food. And so besides our orders, they also gave me a whole chicken and extra Portuguese tarts.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
So I've been...
score.
Yeah, so I've been eating cold whole chicken all week long. So
did you mention they were going to get a free plug?
I did not. Not even, right? I should go back and be like, if you give me more, our 100 listeners, most of whom do not live in Toronto, we will...
one person that shows up.
Yeah, so there you go. Portuguese Chicken Guys. If you're in Toronto, head over to 898 College Street and make sure you go before 9 because that's when they close. So
right before 9.
Yeah. So that's the story. Chicken. Yeah.
Was Dan Woods there? That's the question.
He was not. That's what we were hoping for. Some thirsty Raditch. But you should go. If you go in your thirsty Raditch shirt, your order is half off. Don't hold me to that. Yeah.
And I have some photographic evidence that I will be posting on Instagram.
Yeah.
In case you think Alan's lying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Arlo and I selfied like crazy outside. So,
like crazy. I actually did wear my Thirsty Raditz sweatshirt, shout out Tyrell, to my softball tournament this weekend. And it did confuse a lot of people.
Did anybody get it? That's the question.
Nobody.
Yeah. Okay.
Not really the crowd we're gearing towards, I suppose.
Uh-huh. The co-ed football crowd is not the Degrassi podcast crowd.
No.
Not a lot of cross.
Nope.
So we have Rock and Roll High School, the 18th episode of the third season of Degrassi, The Next Generation. Written by James Hurst, Brendan York, and Rebecca Shredder? Schrader?
Rebecca Shredder. Super Shredder.
Schrechter?
Yeah.
Rebecca S.
Swinson? Samsonite. Sorry.
Directed by Stefan Scannini. Scaini. I'm not good with names. Ted knows this well from trivia. I don't do well with names. Alan, can you tell us about Rock and Roll High School?
It's a movie and a song from the movie, and it was released in 1979. The movie stars the band who sings the song, the Ramones. Go get your $100 or what was it, $80 Ramones t-shirts at Hot Topic, like Craig did for Ashley at Christmas. And I like the Ramones. This might be my least favorite Ramones song.
Yeah, I don't like this song either.
No.
Glowing endorsement. Ted, what do you think of it? I don't know the song, so I can't speak to it.
What, the song? Or the, song. Good. Like, I mean, it's all like Ramones is all kind of similar.
Yeah,
don't send me your hate mail.
It's got like that. It's got like that surfer, like early '60s vibe, but then it's like the Ramones. Okay. So
yes,
yeah. So that's what it's like, and it's again, it's no bias. I'm not into it.
Okay. I like the KKK took my baby away, and I wish that was the title of this episode. But it's not.
There'll be an episode later where a baby gets taken away. Spoiler alert. So.
Well, they missed opportunity.
Yeah, exactly.
Great song.
I was gonna say there's better music in this episode, but that's not true. That's a lie. I can't hold to that. That's not worth saying. There's other music.
There is other music. Yes.
There.
I I didn't write down when it aired. I don't know if anybody has that up handy, but
March 8th, 2004. And I guess in the States, you celebrated Independence Day with this episode out on July 2nd. So I'm assuming that might have been over a long weekend right when Independence Day hit. But there you go.
You know, it's nothing brings in the 4th of July like a battle of the bands.
Exactly.
Nope.
You said it.
All right. So we open and we see Spinner, Jimmy, and Marco walking up the hall. Drake is raving about the new Kid Alright CD, which is good. They walk up to Craig, who is in a trance, just staring at some flyer that's taped to the wall here. The flyer is for a contest called Hot Sounds and T.O. It's the regional semifinals, and the winner gets to move on to the finals, with the prize being 2 days of studio time to record your own single.
Conveniently taking place at Degrassi.
Yeah, exactly. The regional finals in a 3 million person city, and Degrassi's in what, East York, is that right? Degrassi Street
in the in like this, well, actually in the real universe, so I guess that's where they're pretending to be. Yes.
Yeah, so I mean, what better place than a local high school to have this competition?
Mm-hmm.
And did you get a look at the details of the flyer? It
oh yeah,
it's so bizarre.
Yeah, so it's sponsored by the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, what?
Nobody knows music like the Toronto Blue Jays.
True. Especially in that year.
Yeah. Long and McQuaid, which makes a bit more sense.
Yeah.
And Top 92.6 FM. Is that a real station or is that some bullshit Wendy made up for this?
Let's see. 92.6 FM Toronto. When I do a search, I get... No, I do not get a Top 92.6 FM. I do get, though, the 2004... Toronto Blue Jays, though I guess technically this would have been the 2003 Blue Jays because this was, you know, in Canada, this was March of 2004, right? So
yep.
They went 86 and 76. This is back in the day where it was like, the Blue Jays were like, you know, mired in third place in their division, right? So
and they still kind of are.
They're in fourth place now. So.
Yeah. That will fucking never change unless they reorganize the league. But yeah, this was the period where they, I think, had the worst logo.
Oh yeah. You know, I was thinking about it because, of course, this is 2021. It's October. We're going into the last weekend of the season for Major League Baseball. And the Blue Jays, as Courtney said, are fighting for a playoff spot. And they are on the outside looking in. But I kind of think about it and I'm like, okay... So they used to only let two teams in the American League into the playoffs. Yeah. And we were like, oh, well, if only they let more. So then they let a wild card team in. Or no, they went to three divisions. So three division winners and a wild card team. And it was like, oh, there was only more. So now we let a fifth team in. And we're like, oh, come on. So
well, now the argument shifts to the division, right? Because like the Jays, if they were in a different division, they would be in first place and they would have clinched the spot already.
Well,
but it all comes down to the fact they're in the AL East and they're always with Boston and the Yankees.
I guess so.
Yeah, like the Atlanta Braves clinched a spot and they have three less wins than the Jays do.
I mean, that's how sports works.
It is.
Get it on an MLB.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gary Bettman, you listening?
Oh. Gary Bettman. David Stern, listen up.
Jack Tony, you listening? So Craig believes that this is the exposure their band needs, and I don't even think they played a gig at this point, so this is pretty big exposure, trying to get actual studio time. But Drake says when they win, they're going to get the limos, the private jets, and the blingity-blang. And Spinner believes that it's going to result in panty raids on stage.
I don't think it's a stage panty raid. I believe the panties will go flying.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's not the right term.
they're running around on stage stealing panties from...
Have you ever been to a concert where that happened? Because I have not.
No. Nor have I been to a concert where a girl has taken her shirt off like you see on TV.
I have. But I have not. I mean, I've been to a lot of concerts, and so it's never been like where thousands of pairs of panties are flying on stage. There will be one, and it will clearly be a joke. Like, likely the person who did it like brought an extra pair as a gag.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Ashley walks by, calls the downtown Sasquatch a bunch of posers. Ellie says the real musicians are coming through. and they're signing up for the big battle. Craig says that competition's good. Ashley makes a really bitchy comment. Well, not really bitchy, because I guess she really has a right to be upset about what transpired. But she says, nothing gets in the way of Craig getting what he wants. Not emotions, not honesty, not other people's feelings. And Craig is shocked that she still hates him. And I don't, how much time has gone by here right now? Yeah. Not a whole lot, right?
He cannot believe it. His mind is blown. It's like, what?
It's been weeks. What the fuck?
I fucked another chick and got her pregnant while we were going out, and you're mad?
Get over it.
Yeah.
Like, Lord, jeez. What do I got to do? So Ashley says that they are going to blow them off stage. And Craig is like, awesome. If you ever done that, Manny thing never would have happened.
Uh-huh.
Yep, there we go. So we have our opening credits. And we go to the garage. Craig is trying to write the lyrics, and he is failing. He's got writer's block. The rest of the band enters into Joey's garage, and they're talking about how good the girls are, saying that Ashley's playing piano for a long time. And because it's convenient, Paige is now a guitar player, et cetera, et cetera. Craig says there's no way they're going to beat us. And he's already written the song and has all the music and asks if they learned it. So there's some musicians here in the podcast. I'm certainly not. So can you learn how to play a song by listening to it on a Cadillac MP3 player?
If you're a professional musician, yes.
Yes.
If you are a spinner, no.
Well, Drake's a professional musician. Not at this point.
Yeah, I mean, Drake probably can. Like, Drake probably has those chops. But in this Degrassi universe, Jimmy? Probably not at this point.
Yeah.
But absolutely not Spinner. And I mean, we'll hear how they play it. But yeah, you can, if you know enough, you can hear a piece of music and know what's going on.
Yeah. Okay.
Alan, as a drummer, how much do you scrutinize in shows when people drum and they're either pantomiming it or they're actually doing it? Now, in this one, Spinner was actually playing.
Oh.
But how do you feel about this? How do you scrutinize?
I mean, most legitimate drummers are better than I ever was, so I don't really judge. But I do like to pay attention to when the musicians are really playing their instruments versus not.
Yes.
But yes, in this case, they largely are, and I appreciate that. So,
as opposed to the Zit Remedy, who never did.
No. Well, they didn't have a drummer.
And they didn't plug in their instruments.
Though, as you're going to see, not having a drummer is not going to stop another band in this episode, as we'll get to.
Yeah, we'll get there, that's right.
Yeah.
Nothing in the rule book.
Is there, like, did we have this conversation? No, we didn't. A bit, like, is there a popular band who doesn't have a drummer? I assume so. In real life? IRL?
Oh, I don't know.
Do you mean, like, a full-time drummer? Or, like, a drummer at all? Like they just... Folk duos.
Yes, folky duos. Yeah, okay.
I think I meant we had a conversation in the past whether a band was named after a drummer before.
Yes. Or like, yes, that's right. Yes, okay. That was the conversation.
I mean, is Fatboy Slim a band? Because he doesn't have a drummer. according to this list here.
Not even fat.
I don't think he's a boy either.
It's PH. Like the kids.
He's a man. He's a man.
Let's see here. So, bands without a drummer, Le Tigre, The Kills, Phoenix. Oh, they have a live drummer. I mean, they have live drummers, though, so I guess that doesn't count.
Oh, yes.
Here's another though. This list says Nine Inch Nails.
Ah. There you go.
Interesting.
Because The Kills do a lot of, that's Alison Mosshart and Jamie Hyman? Anyways, they have, like, a lot of drum machines that they use. It's actually pretty good. It's pretty great.
I prefer bands with two drummers like Genesis. Just saying.
I prefer my bands with one Phil Collins at least.
That's right.
The Phil Collins Experience. That was a band.
Yeah. So anyway, Drake asks if the lyrics are ready, and Craig tells him, don't worry about that, just learn the song. So they start playing, and it sounds like shit. Craig cuts him off because it sounds bad. Spinner keeps going. So Craig, what does Craig throw at him? I didn't catch what it was.
I didn't throw something at Spinner. Probably a shoe.
Somebody, do you know how to tune? I think he said to Drake something about being in tune.
Oh yeah, he throws insults. he throws
shade.
Yeah.
Oh, he throws a water bottle at Spinner.
Water bottle. That's what it was. Okay.
I thought you were actually meant throwing insults, throwing shade.
No. He threw a water bottle at Spinner and told Drake he had to tune the guitar, blah blah blah. But anyway, he starts tuning the guitar and they start getting ready for the big show. So we go back to school. We see Hazel, Paige, and Ashley talking about Tyrion Hospital. Ashley apparently is hesitant to visit. Paige says he's looking 200% better and could wake up any time. So she is still in a coma. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
How long has it been since an unfortunate incident happened?
It's been a couple of episodes, so I don't know in the universe what it would be. Maybe maybe a couple of weeks.
It's a lot. I don't know.
And how did she get put in a coma again?
Rick gave her a slug, and she fell conveniently head first onto a center rock.
Punk. Oh, what luck.
She sold it.
She sold it good. She's still selling it.
While we're on the topic of medical things, our pal Jill McKinnon wrote us. So for a couple of episodes, I in particular had been commenting about how Spike and Emma were just going about their lives while Snake was apparently in the hospital getting chemo. Oh.
Yes.
She says, I have to play devil's advocate over Spike not being with Snake when he was in the hospital getting high-dose chemo. Chemotherapy keeps cancer cells from growing and making more cancer cells, but in the process, the chemo also destroys healthy cells. White blood cells help your body fight infection. White Blood Cells is also an amazing White Stripes album. During chemo, that was me, by the way, that put that part in. During chemo, White cell counts can get so low, patients are defenseless against infection. Jack, being a child, is a cesspool of germs. Spike and Emma, although older, can pass an infection on to Snake. So she's basically saying if they go in, they could get Snake sick and he could die. So in my face.
Not so much devil's advocate, just truth teller.
Yes. So yes. Yeah. Yeah. I want to be devil's advocate. Yeah. I actually want to lend my like professional expertise and point out that Alan is mistaken, which thank you. Like, you are right. So there you go, Jill. Hope to have you back on sometime. And she also says, she says, stay positive, test negative, and same to you.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
But couldn't he be in some kind of bubble type structure? Like the bubble boy? No.
He could.
Yeah.
I don't think that's offered at many hospitals.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're not like, well, look, you have the option on the government of either not right. having visitors in, or we'll build the special bubble for you so that...
Yeah, that's true.
You can roll around in it, like an hamster.
Like a hamster, yeah.
Yeah.
Like that bubble soccer where you go in. Yeah. Yeah. Or like gladiators. Remember they used to go in those cage? Oh, it's a cage, not a bubble.
Yeah. Yeah, you can get in there. Ashley says that she will visit after they win the Battle of the Bands. At this point, Quan comes into class, and she wants to begin from students reading from their journals. So Ashley volunteers to be first. And she proceeds to recite the lyrics of a song that makes autumn leaves sound like a fun, happy fall day.
A romp through the woods.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right from the Claude Tanner School of Poetry here. Uh-huh. So here's the lyrics. This is what we got. Black twisted agony, the fires of chaos burns on. Run from the tombstone before it's too late. The blood runs cold in her veins. So at this point, Craig starts laughing. Now, what Quan should have said was, please go see the guidance counselor immediately.
Right.
But what she does say was, that was great. Now, Ted, you have some professional expertise in this area. You had a student read that to you. What would your reaction be?
I would say, that's great. Then I jump out through my window. Uh-huh. Hope you and your poem are happy.
Uh-huh. Yep, God.
That was quite the epic tale she tells there. She spins.
Yep. She's the web she weaved.
Tangled, bloody web she weaves.
Oh shit! That was oh my god, yeah. I had a really good laugh listening to that fucking poem.
Yeah, it's good. So we're after class now. Ashley's upset that no one discussed her poetry. And of course, Paige has to drop a hun, but says nobody got it.
Yep.
Ashley says
4 minutes, 20 seconds into the episode. Hun. Yeah. Comes across. Hate it.
Yep. And Ashley says it's about a girl who died in the Spanish Civil War. Now, seriously?
What the fuck?
Uh-huh. It's such well, I wouldn't expect anyone to get it. It's about someone who died in the name, war that no one has studied. At least no one in Toronto, let's be honest. I'm sure if you're in Spain, you've studied it a lot, but...
Yeah, I don't think a grade 10 student in Toronto would know much about the Spanish Civil War to the point where they'd be writing Claude Tanner-type poems about it.
Again, I'd love to be in the fucking writer's room coming up with this scene. Who fucking thinks of this shit?
And how would anybody ever get "That's About the Spanish Civil War" from those lyrics?
Like, oh, when I was listening to it, I was like, oh, shit.
Spanish Civil War. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I got you now.
It was a toss-up between fucking...
The Boer War, the Spanish Civil War.
Yeah. One. That one always fools me up.
Or GNF and R's Civil War. We don't need your Civil War. Yeah. So, toss-up. Yep.
So, Craig cracks a joke about the lyrics or the poem there. And Ellie says that she should write about personal experience, like her ex. So Ashley starts spitting some mad rhymes, and Ellie thinks that Craig is now in trouble.
Oh, boy.
But Ashley's going to lay down.
I mean, and again, we'll get to it. It's like, Craig is in as much trouble as he wants to sell. That's a wrestling term. Like, if he wants to show the whole world that these lyrics get to him, then yes, he is in trouble. He could try the path of not giving a fuck.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we will see.
Yep.
So it is B plot time. And what a doozy of a B plot we got here.
Oh, here we go. Ugh.
We got Angela and we got Joey unpacking groceries. Angela has eggs and Joey tells her to be careful. And Caitlin's decided to come visit and she decided to take a cab. So she pulls up in the old Bex. Is it Bex? Or that's a Newfoundland. Is it Bex? Some cab.
Yeah, yeah. No, and you're making me look up a lot of stuff tonight. Toronto Cab Company. Which one is it here?
No, Beck's here.
It's Beck.
Oh, it is Beck's. Okay, yeah. There you go. It's from my days in Toronto. I remember it. Okay. Angie's happy to see Aunt Caitlin starts jumping up and down, and she drops the eggs that Joey just told her to be careful with. Angie's super sad, and Joey says it's her fault for not going to bed on time. Now, what that has to do with anything, I don't know.
I'd also like to say, Joey, it's your fault for making the 5-year-old fucking carry the eggs.
Carry eggs, you idiot.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even let my 14-year-old carry the eggs.
Yeah.
Carry the toilet paper and the fucking celery.
Yeah.
That's it.
Not eggs.
So Caitlin tells her to stop crying, and Joey completely blows it off that she's fine. So Caitlin decides to cheer her up by doing a cartwheel.
What the fuck?
That's right.
What is going on?
On the sidewalk.
Yeah, on the sidewalk. And the hard asphalt below, but she does it. She then says that Joey cannot do anything like that. And Angie says, Daddy, no fun. So Joey accepts the challenge, does a handstand on the sidewalk, and wipes out. And we hear a nice crunching sound when he falls for extra effect.
He brain crushes himself.
He's like Ghostbuster, like Coco. Yeah, exactly. Sometimes love is like pile driver. Like the slow dance.
I wish instead of that he would have been like, oh yeah, I'm gonna take all my clothes off and walk naked down this street.
Give me $5 for it. Pay for this car.
No fun, my ass.
That's right. It's literally my ass.
Literally.
So we go to the music store. Craig is listening to some music on the old, back in the day when they had headphones where you can sample songs. I don't think they'll be singing ever again.
No.
Ashley pops by, sees him and leaves, and Craig chases after her. Craig catches up, says he respects Ashley too much to keep things like the way things are between them. I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
Right? Like, fuck.
Respects.
Fuck you.
Ashley says, if you have something you want to say, I want to hear it. And he apologizes for laughing at Autumn Leaves, or whatever her version of Autumn Leaves. And Ashley is flabbergasted that she wanted to talk about the lyrics. And I'm like, Craig, come on, dude. Like, you really think that's why she's mad?
Yeah. It's like, what? What could it be?
What else? There's nothing else that could happen.
Yeah.
I told you, he is a stupid, just like Manny told them.
Yeah, he is a stupid.
Craig, you are a stupid.
Yeah, I don't think there's any other way to describe it.
No.
Oblivious.
Yeah, oblivious.
He's so dumb, he wouldn't even know what that word was.
What a sick burn.
Also, by the way,
take that, Craig.
If we recall the last time that we saw Craig, Craig has certainly gotten over the abortion of his child very fast. And also, like, if you need a subject for song lyrics, buddy, like, you know, Brick by Ben Folds. Hello.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He could have been the next Ben Folds.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Craig Folds.
What could have been?
Yeah.
Oh, what are the abortion songs? Was the Verve Pipe? Was the Freshman? Was that one?
Was it? Oh, here we go again. Songs about abortion.
Yeah, that came out my first year of university, and I think that might. It was a very, topic of abortion, popular time, I think.
Oh, my God.
I might be wrong.
No, there are hundreds and hundreds of them.
Oh,
if you go to the Wikipedia page for songs about abortion.
Is there any Great Big Sea abortion songs?
the sea shanty about it.
Yeah.
The Freshman by the Verve Pipe, yes, is one.
I never knew that.
Apparently also by the Luna Chicks, a track called Fallopian Rhapsody. So.
Okay, that gets the award. I don't care what award, just grab one off your shelf and give it to that band. Yeah. Perfect.
So if you'd like to hear more about abortion songs, listen to our sister podcast, The Abortion Songs.
Yeah. Abortion Song of the Day. It's actually going to be my my new Instagram theme for the next year. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. We count down the top 100 abortion theme songs.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Baby, come back. Was that one?
Uh-huh.
Oh, this is 70s.
We'll bring this back on the rails here. Joey is on the couch nursing his wounds. Caitlin and Angie are playing some kind of superhero game. Angie jumps on Joey, and he is all hurt from this Ghostbuster he took, or the Brain Buster he took earlier.
It took it hard.
He took it. So he's selling it good. Joey decides that he is going to have to send Angie to his mom's place. So tells her to go up and pack up her Barbies and her clothes and all that shit. But Caitlin says, no, I can help. Joey doesn't want her to help because she can't be tough with Angie. You know why? Because they've been going out for what? A couple weeks? Is that how long has it been so far?
Since Christmas. Okay. I don't know how long it's been since Christmas, but we see when the kids are outside, they're still, you can see the breath coming out of their mouths. So it's still cold.
Yep. So we're looking at 2 months.
Yeah.
Joey's upset she's not a strict disciplinarian with the kid yet.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
It's been long enough. Give her a smack, Caitlin. It's okay.
Yeah, give her the back of your hand.
The old backhander, yeah.
I would have loved to have seen this plot go where Joey gets addicted to, like, Oxy or something.
Yeah.
I mean, you know why he's not going to get addicted to it, right? Because he's fucking faking. Like, we're going to see him laying on the couch, like, for the whole episode. And he's like,
oh yeah.
Got to send Angie to my mom's. Got to get Caitlin to cook fucking everything for the house. Like...
Well, I would sit down and read the paper.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he grabs his back. He hears somebody open the front door, and he grabs his brace and wraps it around him.
It's like they should give Joey a bell, too, and be like, ding, 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 Caitlin, I need eggs.
Yeah, I got to say, as fans of the original Degrassi, that most, you know, we are obviously bigger fans of that than this one, they really do the original cast dirty in these episodes, man. Like, this is what a shit story this is.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. I hate how they keep painting Caitlin as his fucking ditz.
Yeah, Caitlin's a ditz. Joey's is a non-fun stick in the mud.
Well, yeah.
And also, so this has, it's not even like there's a little bit of crossover with the actual cast of this show for this B storyline, right? Like Angie, Joey, Caitlin. And I'm thinking, if I'm a Degrassi Next Generation fan watching this, I would not give a shit about the storyline whatsoever. No. Like, you know, Caitlin doesn't know how to be a disciplinarian with the child. Like, gives a fuck. It's a fucking show for kids. Like,
yeah.
Anyway, Caitlin decides she's going to override Joey's decision to send Angie away and proclaim she is going to take care of them. And I think shenanigans will ensue.
Ugh.
But we will see.
That's fair.
So we are now at rehearsals for the big battle of the bands. We see Downtown Sasquatch. They're playing a song. Mr. Armstrong's wearing a sweet Argos t-shirt. He wishes them good luck after he hears them practice, and his body language thinks that they stink. The show is tomorrow. There's still no lyrics. So I don't know how to expect to do good. Like, they're just going to do it first time live, I suppose. I guess that's their plan.
Well, we'll see. They kind of do. Spoiler alert.
So the next group, and from what I can tell, there's only two groups in this entire battle of the regionals of a 3 million person city. It's called Hell Hath No Fury. And Paige walks up and throws some shade because they actually have lyrics. And she plays the guitar now. Was this ever established that she's a guitar player? I know she sang. Yes. What was the band they had? The PMS or something? Was that the band they had?
I think she played guitar in that band.
She did.
Okay.
She had a Les Paul or a knockoff Les Paul. And this one, she, I believe, has a Stratocaster or a knockoff. Okay. And she cannot play the guitar.
Okay. So Hazel's our keyboard. I originally had her as a drummer because I assumed there was a drummer with all the drumming sounds coming from the song.
Yep.
Ellie's guitar, bass, and like we said earlier, there's lots of drumming, but the drums are in plain view of the camera and nobody's sitting there.
Maybe they're really short.
It's a tiny drummer.
Yeah.
Yep. They do their song. It's about Craig hurting Ashley, and there's lots of angst. So here's a little lyric here. You say it doesn't matter, it's all in the past, but the pain doesn't show it, it's disguised by this mask. And she goes, you, I don't know. Craig goes, well, I'm Dave Coulier. Yeah,
cut it out.
But he's not happy with these lyrics.
I thought the song was actually pretty good.
It actually was pretty good.
Like in the history of like songs written by these bands and performed on Degrassi that I guess are originals, this is a pretty good song.
Yeah, I mean, there's this one, there's the one Craig does, there's Everybody Wants Something, and Rock and Roll Is Good for Your Soul. I think that's the list, isn't it?
There might be a few more, but yeah, that's largely it. Yeah.
Oh, the one that the PMS sisters did, or whatever that one was there.
Yeah, oh yeah, that one wasn't that bad.
Yeah, they definitely got better in Next Generation in terms of the music.
Yes.
So we go to breakfast, and we're at the Jeremiah residence. Caitlin's getting breakfast for Angie and Joey. Angie doesn't like what Caitlin prepared, and to be fair, it looks pretty awful. Was it oatmeal or something like that? Gruel, it looks like.
Slop.
Yeah.
Caitlin suggests toast or cereal, but she wants pancakes. So Caitlin's like, I can do pancakes, and she calls to rearrange her meeting to get breakfast. And drops her phone in the gruel or the slop.
Great.
It looks like the stuff.
She's so clumsy.
Yeah.
It looks like the stuff Henry O. Godwin used to dump on people after the slop job.
It's a very wrestling-centric podcast.
Yeah. So Joey cracks a joke about her dropping her phone in the oatmeal while he's sitting there reading the paper. All heaves up. So, which I thought was great. If I was Kate, I'd be like, fuck this, I'm out.
Yep.
But she doesn't do that. She wants to prove that she can be Joey's helper or looker after her.
Yeah. So, servant.
Why not? Servant. There you go. Like he hove off reading the paper.
And I mean, Joey's like, let's be honest, like Angie's being a little like demanding little brat. And sure, that slop I wouldn't eat either. But like you settle for the next the next two options. And Joey's like, just like so half-heartedly be like, oh, Angie, don't do that. be nice. But really, like, he doesn't give a shit.
He's like, it's your problem now.
Yeah. Make her pancakes.
He's like, I don't fucking know how to deal with her. You deal with her.
And he said you could do it.
Do it.
So we go to the immediate immersion room. Craig goes to Ashley and says he doesn't like the lyrics. And Ashley says they're not about him. They obviously are. And Craig gets on about how he doesn't like it. And Paige, of course, has to jump in because it's Paige. And she says some bullshit Paige thing. Craig says, if she plays that song, I'll. And Ashley cuts him off and said, have sex with more grade nines.
That's line of the episode.
Yeah. Yep. And Snake's like, shut up. No one likes a bragger. Obviously, upset.
Summer. Yes. Blue balling.
The whole summer.
You weren't there. You didn't know what it was like.
So Craig does not listen. Basically says that if you would have put out, I wouldn't have went with Manny.
Right?
Oh, what a message that is.
What an asshole.
Yeah, that's pretty low. I mean, geez. Basically, if you weren't explicit, if you weren't such a prude, Manny never. I would never want to got with Manny. Which is wow. That's
It's
that's pretty low. That's
this
dirty.
This is your fault. I had to fuck
Yeah, that was, I did not like that. I think, Jesus, Craig, that's the wrong thing to say. But anyway, Ashley eggs him on. And she's like, oh, I thought you loved her. So Craig gets angry. So Snake lays down the big threat. Double homework if you don't shut up. No one likes a bragger, and the zits are better than downtown Sasquatch.
Yeah, you tell him.
We're in the garage. Craig shows up, and the boys are already there hanging out. It's kind of like the way Foreman's basement in That 70s Show. I don't know if that would ever actually happen.
Fuck, great reference. So true.
Yeah, Craig announces he's out of the contest and says Ashley's already won. Spinner disagrees, and they got the ammo for her. Oh, so they have a rap here that they got done up.
Fuck.
It was pretty bad. And there's one line here. Chicks like you ain't worth that much. Shut up, girl, and make me lunch. Uh-huh. Which I kind of snickered at, but it's not very good.
I mean, the point of it is that it's supposed to be fucking terrible. So,
yeah,
you know, at least they pulled off that.
That.
Yeah.
And the line was delivered by the most popular hip-hop artist in the world right now.
Yes.
Uh-huh. That was pretty interesting. This is probably his first ever televised rap.
I think so.
He's gotten better.
Look it up, Alan. You're on a roll.
I'm not looking this one up.
E. Brooks.
So Marco says that him and Craig need to go for a walk. So they go out for a walk. And Marco says the key to writing songs is screaming, apparently.
Yeah.
So Craig starts to scream and it doesn't work. So and as Alan said, you can see their breath. So it's obviously still, I guess, between Christmas and spring.
I'm not sure what the whole point of this scene is. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't lead to any, all right? It's just kind of a thing that they do. It doesn't give them inspiration. It doesn't do anything. It just takes 2 minutes of the episode.
Yeah, I was confused. Like, it doesn't advance the plot. I thought Craig would have some screaming moment where he'd have some inspiration, but that didn't really happen. I thought you could easily cut that scene.
Like we don't establish any maybe we're supposed to say, okay, like Marco and Craig have some sort of like different kind of friendship connection or whatever, but it's like, it's nothing. It's like they go out. Okay. Try screaming. Okay. I screamed. Okay. That didn't work. All right. Well, let's go back to the garage.
Let's go. Well, let's go try to figure it out again, I suppose. Yeah. Let's go back to that rap song. Anyway, that the picture of him screaming is the screen grab on the Degrassi Wiki, so maybe that's what the purpose of it was.
Yeah.
Get that nice screen grab.
Makes sense.
We go back to our B plot, this fascinating journey. Joey asked Angie how shopping was with Aunt Caitlin. She says it was okay, and Caitlin was not happy. I guess she figured it was supposed to be magical or something. Ashley decides she's going to go out to play. Caitlin says you need to go wash your hands for supper. She says 5 minutes and ignores her instructions completely. And being a parent, this scene really spoke to me because this is exactly what happens.
Yep.
Yep. So Caitlin calls her Missy, tells her to wash her hands. Angie's response, I hate you. You dumped my daddy for Claude.
What? Nothing.
No, watch my daddy was fucking Tessa Campanella.
I just figured, like, Angie must have sat down and watched all of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High to jump to the same conclusion as us about Caitlin.
Yep, that's right.
I used to think you were cool, but now you fucking suck.
It's true. I'm with Barry. Although I hate Caitlin's calling her, like, listen here, Missy, or whatever she says. It's so stupid and cheesy, but... I get the point, and it made me laugh.
Caitlin did it to herself.
Anytime I ask my son to do something, I'll do it in 5 minutes. So this scene really did speak to me.
Yeah.
So we go to the regional competition, which is, of course, held at Degrassi. We see Hell Hath No Fury walking in the hall dressed in all black with shirts that have Craig's head surrounded by fire or flames or something. Mm-hmm. And they're doing the old slow-mo Reservoir Dogs type walk.
Okay, look, the song lyrics being about Craig, I say that that's fine because you can lie and say it's not, or, you know, it's a song. But, like, the shirt with the dude's head with a fire behind it, you couldn't wear that in the school these days, no. Right?
No.
They'd stop you right away and say, you have to change. You cannot wear this. You're not allowed to wear this. But Degrassi. So.
And our new band name is Craig Manning's a Piece of Shit. Is that okay?
Yep. Craig says that all you care about is making my life hell. Ashley retorts that she wanted to die. She felt so bad. And she says it'll never be okay. So again, this is more proof that she needs to see a guidance counselor, I think.
So I thought this was interesting because, I mean, I totally believe Ashley. She's like, I was so sad. I wanted to die. Like, that's how bad it was when they broke up, right? So let's go back to the episode. It was Holiday, part two, when she found out. When Ashley went off feeling like she wanted to die, we just jumped to Craig and Joey and Angie going to the airport and getting together with Caitlin. Yay, happy ending. Yep. Meanwhile, this child is like wanting death upon themselves. So that was Holiday, everybody, the happiest Degrassi episode.
Yep.
Well, maybe Ashley needs to not be so fucking dramatic.
That's the solution.
Yeah, get over it.
That's why, yes, that's my advice.
Yeah.
Get over
it. Yep. Craig says he said sorry. How many times do I need to say it? He keeps saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And Ashley says, you need to say it until you mean it.
And I wish that his song that he would come up with later would be like, I really mean what I'm gonna say next. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, 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 sorry.
Then drop the mic.
Yeah. No, like 3 minutes of sorries and then, done.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we see the girls performing the song. And like I said, it's a bit of a banger. It's called Mr. Nice Guy. I can't pretend to forgive and forget. Again, she's super angsty when she sings it. Again, all kinds of drumming, even though there's no drummer. And the judges seem to be digging it. And I don't know if these are local DJs or not. I think
probably are. I don't know who they are, but I would assume they were.
There's a bunch of people there. Backstage, you see Marco freaking out because they're good. And Craig is still not there, but they are told that they're going on in 1 minute.
This is an interesting setup for this Battle of the Bands. Like, they're in the gym, and they've set out chairs for the students to sit in, like it's an assembly. And the students sit in the chairs, like, like totally well-behaved while this rock concert goes on. And then when the band is done, they leap up, and it's like giant applause. It's like, no, this should be like standing room. Like, it should be like a concert where you're not sitting, sure. Right? Everybody's, like, general admission standing by the stage. But, yeah, I felt that was weird.
Did you ever have Battle of Bands at any of your respective schools?
We did. It wasn't really a Battle of the Bands. It was just a concert that was put on, like, where bands from my school were exclusively the ones who played it. Including, by the way, there was a band, I think they were called Penelope's Fish. And they had a song called I Want to Be There When You Die, which was about the guy's, like, ex-girlfriend.
Holy.
Yep.
Holy.
Wow.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Penelope's Fish.
Yep.
Did they win?
It was not. It was just a concert. We all won.
Oh. There was...
the people watching were the winners.
The fans were the real winner.
Except for that. Except for the person who they wanted to die, I figure.
Yeah. Except for her.
Yeah.
And it was standing. There was no assembly seating.
It was outside. Yeah, it was outside, and everyone kind of like could stand wherever they wanted. Yeah. Like, I just I find, like, at a rock show, like, which rock show do you go to? Like, I get it if you're going to see, like, I don't know, Elton John or something like that at Scotiabank, but in a club, you don't sit politely while the band plays and then leap up and cheer at the end of the song.
Unless you live in Ottawa.
But yeah, in Ottawa.
Any music festival here.
Yeah, no standing. Just polite applause at the end of every song.
Everybody sits. Fuck.
Nice.
And Ted or Bear, you didn't have Battle of the Bands?
No.
No. There was a band in high school, but that was pretty much it.
Were they Great Big Sea?
No.
Of course.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's
Is there like a tribute band called like Great Big D?
I feel like it's like my favorite two bands are Great Big Sea and Alan Doyle Solo.
Yeah.
That's right. Still Flynn's contribution to music.
Uh-huh. Yep. Hey, that's not true.
Hey, man, the lead singer for I Mother Earth after they got rid of Edwin was from Newfoundland. So,
yes.
Yep.
Byrne, was it?
Brian
was
Byrne.
His, I think Brian Byrne, yeah. Yes. He was.
Bob Edwin.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I did not know this.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
He went solo. Edwin went solo. And he had an album with a terrible photoshopped picture of him on the nose, like on the nose of an airplane. And I was going, is this real? And it was real. It was like very, very, very fake.
And
like,
one of
Toby could have done it.
One of his singles was called Hang Ten, where he sang,
oh, yeah,
Peace, Love, Hang Ten, California, Dreaming of a Perfect Wave. And I was like, you're from Toronto.
Yeah.
They end up getting back together when I, a couple of years ago, they started performing with him again, and now they tour with him. So they're all back together, and they fucking sound great. Hmm. So,
do they?
Yeah. Good. The first time I saw them play, they did Scenery and Fish cover to cover. And like, it started out good, but it was more because the songs were great. And I was like, this is pretty good, but like Edwin was fine. But then they got like halfway through the show, and then the dude was just fucking rolling. And it was like, I was like, okay, this guy's great. And I'd never seen them with Edwin before. I'd only seen them with Brian Byrne. So it was good. Wow. Anyways, for anyone that's not in Canada, I'm Mother Earth. That's, and anybody who's not like younger than 40, basically, it's like, yeah, I'm Mother Earth. Go check them out. They're on Spotify. Yeah.
Did the drummer still have red dreadlocks?
No.
Very important detail.
Uh-huh. Called
redlocks. I went to see Edwin, and there was like a brief, like super Canadian super band thing, like with what was that Velvet Revolver type thing, but Canadian bands. It was like Edwin. Northern Lights. What is that? With
the Northern Lights? No, I'm
just. What? Are you serious?
No, I was joking. I can't remember their call.
What is that all about?
But it was like, it was Edwin was singing, and it was like a compilation of him. There was a Our Lady Peace guy, a Tea Party guy.
Oh, here we go. Crash Karma.
Yes. That's it. So I saw them play here in Ottawa, and they did like a couple of their own songs, but then they just covered like one or two songs of each of their own respective bands. It was all right.
Nice.
There's also a Canadian super band called Cunter. So,
super band.
They are originally known as Hunter. This Manin Alexis on Fire offshoot became Cunter due to a legal threat over their original name. So, there's also a band with the guys from Hot Heat, Limb Lifter, Hoxley Workman called Mounties, which. Come
oh,
on.
Wow.
We know that Mounties should have been Jacques Rougeau and
that's right.
Pierre Roulette. Yeah.
I love Hot
Hot
Heat. I wasn't sure what happened to them.
I Hot Hot Heat are one of the only bands left on my I wish I could see them in concert list.
So. Oh, I saw them in concert.
Then you are better than I am. Days. Yeah.
The only thing I can claim that's better, like that I'm better at than you in music, Alan, is I saw them.
You win.
Mm. You know what band I'd like to see?
Who?
Downtown Sasquatch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so, me too.
So our good friends Downtown Sasquatch are about to go on. They're no singer. So they decide they're going to go out there, and I guess they're going to call it in the ring.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
They got no lyrics. They got Spinner gets on the mic, says rock and roll, and does the whole rock and roll thing and says, we're going to play a song, and we don't know the name of it. They get ready to start playing, and Craig shows up.
Was there any particular Blue Jays that showed up just randomly?
Roy Halladay is like, throw the first pitch before we get this started.
Halladay.
Delgado was still on the Jays at that time, right? So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
May he rest in peace.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Where did this come from? Where did this Jays connection come from?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Why is it Chris Woodward? I did a double take and I was like, what is happening? And so I need to get to the bottom of the story behind this. So I'm hoping one of our listeners has some information.
If you're with the Blue Jays, please tell us.
And you're listening right now during their game. I'm like, were they so unpopular at that point in time, which is very possible, that they needed to use Degrassi to promote the team?
Probably.
Try to get a few butts in the seats.
I'm not even kidding. That is probably what was happening.
Yep. Get that logo splashed anywhere you can.
Fuck that logo. That just like reminds me of like Ricky Romero. That's such a bad time. Anyways.
It was. Anyway, so Craig shows up and he has like a little piece of loose leaf there that's all crumpled up that he has the lyrics to this song that he wrote. I think, is it a different melody than the original? Like when he first starts singing, I'm not really sure. But anyway, they all instinctively know how to play it regardless.
Yeah. Weird, right?
Yeah. He just wrote the lyrics. So he starts singing a few of them from the thing, then he just tosses the paper away because I guess he quickly memorized it while performing it for the first time.
Craig's a superstar, right? He fucks like a champ, gets the ladies pregnant, and can sing without lyrics.
That's right. He just does it all.
Like, I kind of hate that, you know, at this point, this is supposed to make Craig to be out, like, make Craig to be the sexy hero of this episode, and it's like, this guy's a douchebag. Like, what's happening here?
This is like if Dwayne was the main protagonist of the next generation of Degrassi High. Yeah. Like if he just moved it over and said, okay, he's the hero.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, but he's not a hero. He's a shitbag. And Craig is kind of a shitbag.
Like Craig, I mean, we know that Craig has other psychological problems that we've talked about and that we're going to get into in future episodes. But like here it's like, oh, poor guy can't keep his dick out of people. Like that's, oh no.
So, I mean, I understand. I never felt sorry for him once. Like, I didn't see him being portrayed as someone that we're supposed to feel sorry for. Maybe that's just me.
I didn't think sorry for. It's just more so like he's the hero here, right? Like, he comes out. He's got these lyrics. He fucking throws them away when he's singing. Yeah. Like, come on.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Good point.
Yeah. One of these lyrics, all he knows is everything he touched turned to dust. Last note I got here is they did great considering the lack of rehearsal time. So basically they just jammed. They're up there jamming. And there you go. They knocked out a banger.
It's a good song. Finally, I like the song. It's very, very, like if you want to know what music sounded like in 2004, like rock music, this is it.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, 100%. And I actually really like that song. Like, is that super embarrassing? I thought it was better than Ashley's song.
I liked it. Oh.
Maybe the judges agree too. We'll find out shortly.
Yes.
What do you say, Chris Woodward? Chris Woodward, judge of music.
Catch the taste. Like, no, Chris, that's not your thing, man. Catch it right now. Catch your taste. No, Chris.
Yeah, we'll see if Long McQuaid and the Blue Jays agree with Courtney. This was a better song. We'll see. So let's clue up this B plot here. So Caitlin walks downstairs. Angie won't open the door for her because she's all upset. Joey has the brace on there because he's really selling now. He says at least he didn't steal a car like Craig did when he was mad or whatever when he stole a car. Joey tells Caitlin that she can't just be her friend. She needs to set limits. Says Caitlin did great. And she might not like you, but she respects you.
Like, what okay. is that?
Uh-huh.
There we go.
Yeah. Like a 5-year-old doesn't even know what respect means.
No.
That's pulled out of his ass.
Yeah. They're mad until you buy him something.
Basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Then he asks her to stick around. And first I thought he was doing the baby talk, but then I think it was like the old time voice. But he's like, just stick around, okay? And I think it was more his face was up against her cheek or something like that.
I don't know.
Ugh. Or he's like, just sticky wicky around you.
Oh, no.
He's like, look, if you're still upset over Angie, you can cry because we know what will happen then.
That's right.
And then, like, he
couldn't do it because of the back brace, so he couldn't do the tear eater move.
Yeah. And that's the end of this story. Like, there's nothing else. It's like, Caitlin had a hard time with the kid. She got pissed at the kid. One day, the kid will like her. Story over. Yep. Oh, fuck. Like, what a waste of time.
Yeah, just pure waste of time.
The boys win a battle of band. Finally, something for the guys.
Oh,
Finally.
Yep. So we find out that Downtown Sasquatch win, and they're celebrating. Again, I guess this was a two-band competition, because that's the only two we saw.
Yep.
So, yeah, it was... The Eastern or the regionals of this competition consisted of two bands that are both in grade 10. I think it's grade 10 or grade 11, whatever grade you're in here now.
10.
10, okay. Ashley goes to talk and says they deserve to win, and Craig's lyrics were just right. Craig says, thanks, cracks a smile, thinking he was just forgiven. And that's it.
Yeah. I think it's supposed to tell us, like, the hatchet is buried between these two because he wrote this fucking song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Manny's turned to dust. Was
it? Yeah.
It was all because of the slight he put on Manny there. The line about her turning into dust.
Yeah. And I will have more to say on this next episode.
Yes.
Fucking bullshit. But yeah, this, you know, Ashley alluded to the fact that, you know, she'll forgive him or she'll accept his apology when he means it.
And Courtney, are you alluding to the fact that Craig is playing in a band competition and is really happy hanging out with his friends and Manny is like the pariah of the school?
Yes, that is exactly what I am referring to.
Just wondering. Yeah.
Yes.
Great.
To be super clear, yes. Yeah.
That's pretty even.
Punish the woman.
But Craig, did you see how bad Craig felt? He was mad at Ashley. I mean, so that evens out, right?
Yeah. Well, again,
he laughed at her lyrics.
Again, that's his concern, yeah. Right? Craig is, when we last saw Craig, his child was going to get aborted. And the person who he wanted to be with, right? Let's have a family and live together and raise this baby. Now he's back to chasing Ashley and trying to get her forgiveness. And has forgotten, like, completely about what happened in the last episode. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Seriously. Terrible. I think Manny should have had a band in the Battle of the Bands, too. That would have made it more interesting.
Called Craig's Aborted Baby.
Yeah.
There's a whole list of songs he could have used.
Fetus doll, and she could have had that old grandma. As her
it's like she's playing the music, and then she brings on the special lyricist. She killed your baby.
Yeah, she comes comes out of the stage, like it's got that like special drop stage, and she comes up in a gust of smoke with her fetus doll.
Yeah,
yeah.
This was your baby, Craig.
And that goes remix. Yeah.
Yeah.
This was your baby.
Yep, baby, I don't love your way. Yeah.
Anyways.
Yep. Don't that's kill what should have happened. Don't kill your
So whoever wrote this, I can't remember who it was. It wasn't AA, Ron. But anyway, whoever wrote this is what you should have done.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, there you go. Rick Connors.
Yeah, damn it.
Mm. Yeah. Fetus Doll Remix.
Any last thoughts?
Lots of people on the Degrassi Wiki love this episode. So there you go. People really liked Spinner and Jimmy's rap, too, apparently.
Wow.
One person said, very sexist song. I don't know which song they're talking about. But anyways, that's about it.
Yeah. I thought it was a good episode. Like I said, I don't agree with the message that, you know, Craig was like a hero or something. My dad certainly wasn't. He's definitely a douchebag and doesn't seem to see the error of his ways for what he did, but it was entertaining for sure.
I liked it. I was thought it was a kind of one of the better episodes of the season, and this has been a good season.
Yeah, no, for sure. Music was good. It's much better than Everybody Wants Something, I think.
Like, it's a good episode that didn't need tragedy, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Strictly the A plot. The B plot was still garbage, but
yeah, so garbage.
Is there any good B plots with the original cast? Just trying to think, or any plots at all? Or are they just kind of just there so that the old fans will watch every now and then? I can't recall anything that was enjoyable with the original cast. Maybe the first episode.
When they got back together with Wheels.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that was a good little moment, yeah.
Yeah, but no, mostly they're garbage.
Yeah. So, oh well. Anything else?
What do we got next week?
Next week on Narwhals and Broomhands, we have It's Raining Men. Marco has been eyeing up Paige's older brother, Dylan, but does not have the guts to ask him out. Clearly, this is a job for... ... Spinner? Skinner? Spinner? meanwhile, JT requests Conley not to get up in his fries, dog.
Oh, man.
Love this.
I will say, this next episode has probably the best YouTube splash page. Of all.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, so we have, you know, we used to talk about that one with, like, Marco's super sad pouty face that always bugged me. This one is just a picture of fucking JT with the dog in their, like, rap outfits.
Yeah. I have been waiting for this episode because I see the splash on YouTube and I'm like, we need to hurry up the podcast. I need to watch what this dog is doing and what JT is doing dressed up. What is happening?
So you have like the picture if you look at YouTube, and then if you hover over it, it will show like a, you know, like a half second clip from the episode. The one where the one a few episodes ago with like Rick and Terry, when you hover over it, it's literally Terry taking the header on the brick, like over and over again.
Jeez. Yeah.
So it's great.
Well, Ted's been waiting since the beginning of time for this one. He only has to wait one more week.
Oh boy.
Ooh, rub my hands together.
Or 5 minutes, depending on what your perception of reality is.
That's right.
So, anyway, that's it for this episode. You can follow me on Twitter at Barry R. Flynn, and we'll just do our little plugs, and we'll call it a day. So, Ted?
I'm Ted. I'm getting away from the social meds lately.
Okay. Look something up.
I've gotten rid of, I've deactivated the old Facebook, and I might do Instagram next. So, watch something. I'll recommend something. Either Homestar Runner or I Think You Should Leave.
Do you want to give your phone number so that we can text you?
Yeah, give us your phone number.
So I guess that means trivia is over.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll start it back up when we get back at trivia, or if we ever do.
Yeah.
I really hope you do.
And I echo, I think you should leave. I know Ted and I have talked about it many times, but there's very rarely a day Ted and I don't text with a quote from the show to one another. So
yes, I was getting my hair cut today and sent a text.
Yes, that was great.
About, I think you should leave. So, yeah. So, let's go over to the O-Town person.
That is I. And, you can follow me on Instagram. I'll always be there. Courtney.1293. Nothing too exciting. And, yeah, let's send it down to Alan, who has 700 social media accounts to tell you about.
I was wondering if the podcast had a social media account on Instagram, Courtney.
Meh. Oh, yeah, it does. Yeah, follow us at Narbos and Brewheads podcast. And yes, I will get the latest Portuguese chicken photo up there because it's a beaut.
All right. And here's all my social medias. I have 100 of them. Slip with 5 eyes and you'll find me everywhere. And then the podcast is at Narbos Podcast on Twitter, and email us narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. That's it.
Till next time, motherfuckers.
Peace.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Well, I just said I was going to get my up. I would never do my homework. I would stay up late and dream about Kylan. I would never get birds out of my house.
Maybe I would.
I would walk around the cafe, just to get the car like you.